Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 217 all the stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1-4 of Psalter 217.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, there of chapter 7, the first 10 verses. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 7, beginning with verse 1, 2, and including 10. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art upon thy throne, and we dwelling upon thy footstool, and permitted yet to draw nigh to thee, and wilt thou give it also in truth? Because we draw nigh unto thee with our lips, but thy word does say that thou didst charge thy people, that their heart was far from thee. And it is so commonplace that we open our sinful mouth to draw nigh to thee. But, O grant us also a place before thee in true humility, and that we may come as thy servant did come. To God will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. I trust him still, though in my grief no answer yet has sought relief. For thou knowest each and every heart, and those that do wait upon thee. And we can read in thy word thy own promise, that those that wait upon thee, they shall not be ashamed. But thou knowest, O Lord, how long, and what is necessary for us to lose, that we may cast ourselves with all our needs at thy blessed footstool. For thou dost say that if we ask anything according to thy will, that thou wilt hear us, and our supplication must be and brought into accordance with thy holy will. Oh, what is it we read, even our sanctification? Oh, give that true repentance in our hearts, that we may have a desire truly to be sanctified, to be made a new creature, that we may walk in the midst of this world with a new heart, with a new life, and not seeking or ending in all the things that are here below. Though we have daily to do all the work of our hands, but that our hearts may be converted, and that our hearts may be turned, and that our hearts may receive a treasure that is in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt. Oh, that we may become even as one who does seek goodly pearls, who, when he had found that pearl of great price, sold all that he had and went and bought it. Wilt thou give then to seek thee while thou art to be found? For it is thy own word that those that seek me early, they shall find me. And it becomes later and later in the life of many of us, as we are quickly hastening to our end here below. Oh, that then it shall be a beginning. A beginning of a great and a never-ending eternity. Or wilt thou bind these matters upon the hearts of young and old, when we cannot bind them upon ourselves, especially when we are dead in sins and in trespasses? And then Satan, he does keep us busy with our children, with our youth, with so many things which seem to be promising in this world, so many new things, and yet there is nothing new for all that is under that one term, vanity of vanities. All is vanity, saith the preacher. Oh, that we may be given with our youth to see and to feel the vanity of all things, and that that one thing needful may be bound upon the heart of each and every one, that we may feel the seriousness of our life, and that the love of thee may be born in our hearts, or that we may be drawn by thy Spirit, that sin may indeed become a grief unto us, that we may receive that true sorrow, therefore, that compunction of sin in our hearts, that it may hurt, that it may grieve our hearts because of the evil of it, because it is against thee, O Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, because it is against thy only begotten Son, in whom thou art well pleased. Oh, do show unto us a little of thy holiness, of thy righteousness, of thy justice, that we may be given to see, to feel, thy greatness, thy majesty, that we may be brought in the dust of self-abasement before thee, to abhor ourselves and to magnify thy great and thy holy name. O teach us by thy Holy Spirit, Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, to send him in the days in which we are living with our children, to work that same work that thou hast worked in our forefathers, in the days of old that we may read of, and where thou didst convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. O that thou wouldst draw unto thy footstool, and that thou wouldst make thy dear Son necessary and precious in our life, that he would become suitable unto us, and then it is necessary that we become a publican and a sinner. For it is those whom thou didst sit and eat with when thou wast here below. The Pharisees and the scribes, they had no need for thee. Thou didst say, I am not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Oh, give that true, that heartfelt repentance unto each and every one of us, that we may leave the paths of sin, that we may feel and experience the existence of sin within our hearts, that we may know and feel the greatness of our sin, that we may know that we are nothing but sin, and that we may need him who has come to seek and to save that which is lost, to deliver his people from their sins. O Lord, do it for thy name's sake. We live in days of great superficiality, wherein Satan does even use religion for the deception of man upon his way, so that we will come to thy throne on that last day as a deceived man, woman, boy, or girl. O Lord, what shall it be then to expect to enter in and there to be turned away? O, to deceive ourselves for that great and never-ending eternity, where we shall be cast away from thee into that pit where hope shall never come, that thou sayest there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. O Lord, wilt thou forbid it for us and for our children? Send thou the power of thy Holy Spirit to give new life among us, and that there wouldst not be one that is left behind amongst young and old in our midst. Look upon those that have grown old under thy truth. O Lord, thou knowest the heart of each and every one. O, we are from our side nothing but hardness and coldness and deadness. O, then we must be born again. That is thy own work, that thy Spirit may go even as the wind among us and among our children, and that thou would give that also those who are old, even that cannot understand it anymore, whom we cannot reach with our words and in their minds, thou art able to bring it with power in their hearts. And wilt thou help in all the circumstances of old age? Be with the widows and all those that have needs and cares, those that do mourn, those that are lonely. Thou knowest all the needs and the cares of each and every day, so much hidden from others. Wilt thou give us sympathy for one another, and that we may bear one another's burdens? Wilt thou look upon all that are sick, afflicted, all those that are tempted with special sins in this world? For thou knowest the devices of that prince of darkness, and what our children also it is possible that they struggle with. Oh, that thou may give that what is necessary to fight that good fight of faith, that they may be born again, and that it may become a true spiritual warfare. And wilt thou keep that all the sins of this world would enter into the church and into our homes. Oh, that we may as parents be diligent, that we may walk according to all thy statutes and all thy commandments, that we may be given to warn our children while that they are young, and that they may be given to walk in all thy truth, and that thy word may draw their young hearts in the days of their youth to remember their Creator. O Lord, we beseech thee, wilt thou do it for thy great and holy name's sake? Be with our school, the teachers, that thou may supply for them. They stand before our youth and our children day after day. They need strength, they need wisdom, and they need thy grace. They need that tender fear of thy name in their own hearts, and also in the hearts of our children. Give our children that blessed obedience of a child, and that respect for their teachers, for their parents, and that love and that fear of thee in their hearts. O Lord, be with us. Remember our government. Be with those judges that still must make a decision. We beseech thee, O Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, that thou wouldst yet remember us in this cause and in this need, and that thou wouldst deliver us from this tribulation that we have come into, and that thou may give us to stand fast for thy truth, and that thou wouldst thyself receive all the honor. Wilt thou look upon us and all the needs and the cares of heart and home, where there are needs, special needs in the midst of families. Thou knowest where that they are. Give parents a place at thy blessed footstool, and that they may lay all their cares and their troubles before thee, and that our children and our youth, that they may be obedient also to father and to mother. Wilt thou bless thy word to that end? Also in this hour, wilt thou give us strength? Give us wisdom, O Lord, give us simplicity, that all may be given to understand, but not only in our minds. That thou bring thy word in our hearts, all of us together, and that thou wouldst visit us a moment in the midst of thy Sabbath day, when we have taken thy holy day. And we have come up, O Lord, even in an outward way, according to thy holy commandments. And we cannot change our hearts, but, thou can change our hearts. And wilt thou remember us in this hour? And wilt thou visit us with a little token of thy presence, of thy nearness, and that we would not place our hopes upon a bed that is too short, and that we would be not covered with a covering that is too narrow to both live and to die. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 60, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. The last collection today is for our building fund, Psalter 60, 1, 2, 3, and 5. beloved congregation, it is already well into the second month of this new year. This time that is quickly hastening onward, so that soon we will be standing, each one of us, even at the end of our life. And what will we look back on at the end of our life? Because the Lord Jesus spoke in his word about a man who was building bigger barns. And that is not an unlawful thing in and of itself. But he did end in those barns, saying, "Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And the Lord said to him, "Thou fool, for this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose shall those things be? Whose shall our things be?" The Lord Jesus says there is one thing needful. What is that, children? The Apostle Paul, he says, "By grace are ye saved through faith." Thus faith that is necessary unto salvation. And thus, we have many possessions. But do we have faith? And will we have faith when we come to die? Faith. That is a question that is often in the heart of God's children. Do I have faith? That is, do I have true faith? Do I have saving faith? Why is that often in their hearts? That is a very difficult question to answer. Why? In the first place, the Bible says there is one most deceitful thing in the whole world. You know what it is, young people? What is the most deceitful thing in the whole world? That is our own heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our heart. It wants to attribute to ourselves what is not ourselves. A goodness that does not belong to us. A righteousness that does not belong to us. The deceitfulness of our heart. In the second place, there are different kinds of faith. There is not only a true faith, but there is also a faith that is not true. Thus, we can read that the Lord Jesus speaks in his holy word that there will be many, many people that are coming to the end of their life, and they will make a judgment. They will make a judgment concerning faith of themselves, which is not the judgment of the Lord. The hypocrite does not want to search, and we are all hypocrites. Unless the Lord make us true. As a hypocrite, we are like that man he would build his house on the sand, went up quickly. It is soon seen, soon recognized. The whole church may say, beautiful, beautiful house, promising young man, promising young woman. While there is another who is not seen. While there is another who is still digging. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is working in that man. And the Lord is making him honest. The Lord is making him upright. And he says there needs to be a foundation. There needs to be a rock. I need to have a basis, something to stand upon. That is a mark in itself. A mark in itself, the Word of God says, the Lord Jesus says. But there are more. And with the Lord's help, we wish to consider something of this with you in this afternoon. Out of that portion that was read, and we will take for our text the last part of the 9th verse of Luke 7. Luke 7, verse 9, the last part. I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So far the words of our text. Christ's testimony of great faith. First, the character of this faith. Second, the object of this faith. And third, the fruit of this faith. Christ's testimony of true faith. First, the character. Second, the object. Third, the fruit of this faith. I say unto you, I have not found. Who says this? That is Christ himself, and he declares that he has found something. He has found something. Can we find this something also here? He has found faith in a man. That is something, because the Lord Jesus says when the Son of Man comes in the end of this world, the second time, he says, shall he find faith on the earth? But here he says that he has found faith. Is that not a wonder? Would that not be a wonder if the Lord said this of you, that he had found faith? Because we can make our own judgment. But that is not necessarily now the Lord's judgment. David, he said, Lord, wilt thou say to my soul, I am thy salvation. And thus here we read the Lord, he says, that he has found faith, true faith. Do you desire that the Lord would say that also to your soul? Of your soul? How does the Lord say that? How does the Lord say unto his children, I am thy salvation? How does the Lord make that known? We read in former times that the Lord appeared to his people. Came sometimes children when they were sleeping. In a dream, you have sometimes a dream, and then the Lord came in a dream. Or the Lord came sometimes unto them in a vision that was during the day when they were not sleeping. Or the Lord appeared sometimes in the form of a man. He spoke directly unto his children. He came unto Abraham And he spake unto him, he said unto him, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And you say, oh, if it was only like that today, that the Lord would come, that he would speak unto me in my dream or in a vision. You should not desire that. Why not? Because Peter, he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than a vision, more sure than a dream. Unto which he says, ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Oh, he says, take heed then unto that word, canon of the Holy Scriptures, now finished, and the Lord speaking through that word. Did the Lord ever speak through that word unto your soul? Because if it is not through the word, then we must put a question mark behind it. To say, is that then something truly from the Lord? How does the Lord do that? How does the Lord speak through his word? The Lord does that in two ways. The Lord does that in the first place in a direct way. That is, that the Lord, he brings his people into the place of his church on the earth in their own circumstances when he speaks unto their soul. That is, and we read that over and over again, do we not? That the Lord spake, or that David spake, unto Mephibosheth. And he said to Mephibosheth, fear not. Does the Lord, does he also speak unto his people, to say to his people, fear not? He does. But the Lord does not speak unto his people, as was spoken unto Mephibosheth, until he has first brought a people into the place of Mephibosheth. Laying on both their feet, condemned in their own heart, called before the king, then it is that inward consciousness of being brought in that same place of Mephibosheth where the Lord is speaking unto the soul of his children. Thus the Lord, he does that in a direct way. But it is also that the Lord is speaking unto his children in an indirect way. That is, that he is laying before us all the marks that are connected to that true saving faith. They are all laid out in that Word of God for us to read one after the other. And then it is by this honest comparison in the heart that the Lord is confirming his own truth unto his own children. I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. The Lord says it. Of whom? Well, he is a centurion. He is not a Jew. No, he is a Roman. And now of this Roman man, of this Roman centurion, Christ, he says, I have not found so great a faith in all of the Jews, in all of Israel. And now, young people, we want to stop here for a moment. We wish to ask you a question. Who do you think had more knowledge of the Scriptures? Pharisees and scribes? Or this Roman centurion? You will say the Pharisees and the scribes. Yes, you're right. And the Lord Jesus says of this man that he has not found so great faith in Israel as he has of this man. So now you tell me something else. Is the knowledge of the Scriptures a mark of great faith? It is not. Where do you find in the Bible that the knowledge of the Scriptures is a mark of great faith? You say, why do you say it this way? You say it this way for a reason. First place, do not take this wrong. We hope that you are interested to study the Word of God. But we live in a day wherein the knowledge of the Scriptures is often being equated with true saving faith. That is false. We get sometimes young people, they are gathering together. They are going to study the Bible together. We're going to have a Bible study. So is that wrong? Young people, no. We hope you want to study the Bible. But we like to ask you a question. Where is your guide? Where is your guide? Is that the other young person next to you? Do you expect him to lead you now into the knowledge of the Scriptures? Because you know what often happens? Then persons, they are studying so the Bible. Pretty soon, they're all converted. They're all converted. But sadly, we cannot be jealous of such a conversion. You want to study the Bible? That is good. We hope so. Go on your knees. Take that Bible in your hand. And you go. If you need to go downstairs to the book room, then there are old fathers. There are sermons. There are men who have been led by the Spirit of the Lord. And then you compare what they have now to say of those holy Scriptures. No, this man, he did not have a great knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. And we hope that you desire to have a great knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. But we hope that when you have your head full of the Holy Scriptures, that you do not make that into your conversion. I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. How did that faith then? Say it was not in the knowledge of the Scriptures. We think that man probably, he has read through the Scriptures, those Jewish scriptures. But what do we find then in this man? What can we see in this man? In the first place, we find in this man love. The Apostle Paul, he says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not charity, have not love, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And this man, he does not boast of his own love. No, but there are others. They are speaking about the love that is in the heart of that man. What do they say? They say to the Lord Jesus, He loveth our nation. Do you love the nation of the Lord? There you now have a mark. There you now have a mark. That is a people who love the Lord. They love the Lord, and when they learn to love the Lord, then they learn to love His people. The nation of the Lord. And not only the nation of the Lord, they want to do that nation of the Lord good. And thus, what do we read? He loveth our nation and has built us a synagogue. Ah, that is the house of the Lord. Thus, the love of that man, that didn't stay here. No, the love of that man that was evident in his deeds, that came out in his life. He had a love for that Jewish people. He had a love for the God of that Jewish people. And when the Lord, He is working that love, then He is working that love for everything that has to do with Him and with His service. Sometimes that love that is imitated. Ananias, Sapphira, they wanted everyone else to see or to think that they had that same love. They tried to imitate it, but it came out. Orpah came a little way, many tears. The love in her heart? No. Imitation. But the Lord, He is yet working that love. So then we cannot say, when we may see it among us, that is a sure sign in and of itself. No, can be imitated. We will have to wait. We will have to see. And that love for the Lord, for His day, for His house, for His people, for His servants, all that love that is now extending itself, extends itself to whom? Well, it extends itself to His fellow man. It extended itself to His servant. What do we read? We read that He had a servant, and His servant was dear unto Him. That was not typical of that day, that a servant was dear unto Him. Because a servant that was looked at as no one. We find that David, he found the servant of an Amalekite. And he was left in the field to die because he was sick. That was more typical. But now that fear of the Lord, where no one else is watching, his own private home, and he has that servant, a lowly servant. And what does the fear of the Lord teach? That there is no difference between a king and a servant, because that servant also has a soul. And so this servant, we read, he was dear unto Him. Thus love for the Lord, love for my fellow man. These are now some of the marks that we see coming out in this man. What else do we find? We find a great humility, a great humility. This was a man who had a high position in this world. He was a Roman centurion. He was over 100 soldiers. He said to them, go, and they went. He said, do this, and they did it. Powerful man. And then the Lord Jesus. He was a Jewish man. Despised Jew. Despised people generally. Lowly prophet of those despised people. And yet what an esteem. What an esteem that this Roman centurion had for him. The lowliness of Christ that did not stand here in his way. Why? Because true faith that is seen through all of that poverty. It is seen through the station that a man has in his life. These are not the things that make a man worth something. No, there is more. There is something else. How low did that come, that humility? He says, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. Not even feel worthy to come into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And therefore he sent, we read, elders. They must bring his request. Why? Because I am a heathen. Because I am a Gentile. And this is a great prophet of that Jewish nation. Thus he did not see himself as a great Roman in his position. But he saw himself as a polluted man. And now, congregation, we ask you, did the Lord ever bring you into this place of this Roman centurion? He says, I come into his presence. I'm an uncircumcised heathen. Where does the Lord place a man? He places a man on the outside. On the outside. Did the Lord ever place you on the outside? Young people, don't forget this all your life long. Do you know what the Lord makes a man? He makes him a sinner before God. A sinner before God. The Lord can do it. He did it to this Roman centurion. Unworthy, he says. Does not come with his demands. No, he does not even dare to come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he hears, he's coming. He's coming. And then it seems suddenly he becomes afraid. What did I do? What did I do? He's coming. He's going to come to my house. So he sent for him. That is true. Or it seems maybe he thought that through again. That he said, I did something maybe I should never have done. He does not realize maybe to where he comes. That so also sometimes people of the Lord say, what did I dare to do? What did I dare to say? And when he is approaching, then he sends his friends. He says, oh no, that cannot be. that thou wouldst enter under my roof. You say that to young people. Lord, not to my house, maybe you have to put away your activities. Maybe you have to turn off the internet. Maybe you have to change your clothes. Say, Lord, no. You have to do that, young people. When mother or father come, suddenly you need to change what you are doing, then know that you are not honest before the Lord. I was not so with this man. Trouble not thyself, he says. Trouble not thyself, that the Lord, he would think upon me. That man, he had a reverence. He revered him. And he could not imagine that he would come under his own roof. Do you recognize something, young people? Something of that fear, the tender fear of the Lord? We live in different days, don't we? The fear of the Lord that stays the same, always, from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, it stays the same. Hearken to the reverence that a man will have under that tender fear of the Lord. And then look around you, young people, and observe with your eyes and observe with your ears. And hear the disrespect that is coming out of the mouth of so many persons who do profess themselves to be Christian, and to bring that high, that holy God down to the level of a sinful man, and to speak to God just as if he were one of us. Hearken. Because you may know from this that that is not the work of the Spirit of the Lord. You may take those marks directly here out of the Word of God. Then the pride of a man is not broken. A man remains what he is. And the Lord, he rebukes that people that make his own people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Let us not go in such direction that we would deal with the holy things of God in a way of lightness. What did Abraham say? He says, behold, I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. That is now the fear of the Lord. Trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. That man, he looks from the outside. And he looks in as an outsider, as a sinful man, as a polluted man, as an unworthy man, not worthy to come unto thee. No, and he would not have come because of that unworthiness. He would not have dared. But yet he did send for him. Why? Because there was a need. A need drove him. Because he could not do without him. Why? Because he had a servant. And that servant, who was dear unto him, he was sick. And he was ready to die. Let us sing 188, 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 188.
Thank you.
Secondly, the object of this faith. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. When he heard of Jesus, that is, when he heard of his miracles, when he heard of his healings, when he heard of his compassion for the multitude, and his healing of those that were sick. He heard of Jesus. Did you ever hear of Jesus? How many have heard of Jesus who have never sent for Jesus? Why? Because they had never a need of Jesus. Did you also have a need of Jesus? Because the Spirit of the Lord, he is making room in the heart of that people for Jesus. That is what we read here. That servant that was dear unto him, he was sick and ready, we read, to die. Thus it was not just the beginning of that sickness, because in the beginning of that sickness, and we do not yet send for Jesus, because in the beginning of that sickness, there's still so much we can do ourselves. And when the Spirit of the Lord, he is first opening that sin unto that people, they are not immediately sending for Jesus. But this is not the beginning of the sickness. No, this is the end of that sickness. He is ready to die. And so, that powerful Roman centurion, 100 soldiers, commands any one of them to do what he will, and they go. Now he has to experience what helplessness is. His will? Oh, that is that servant. He was dear to him that he would live. But he cannot do it. Cannot command his men. Death. That is more powerful than that Roman centurion. And he has to experience his helplessness. Do you see how the Spirit of the Lord is humbling a man? So that he has to lose his power, his strength, his wisdom, nothing that he can do. Did the Lord ever cut it all off also in your life? Beseeching him, we read, that he would come and heal his servant. What do we read of the children of Israel? Then they cried unto the Lord. When? When they were at their wits' end. Then. Oh, then he sends, we read here, for Jesus. He cries out to him, that is, even in his unworthiness. And when that unworthiness would otherwise hinder him, yet he cries to him. He sends the elders of the Jews. Oh, go home and read the Pilgrim's Progress. Read about Mercy, the second part. Oh, she thought she was unworthy. We read she faints outside of that gate. Christiana, she goes in. and she falls in a swoon. And then suddenly there is a knock heard on that gate. Oh, then she cannot do without him. And all that unworthiness that cannot stand in the way because of the need that is living in the heart of that people. Oh, think of Esther. She dare not go in unto the king. I have not been called these 30 days, and yet I will go in unto the king. And if I perish, I perish. Oh, that centurion, he calls, he sends for Jesus that he may experience something of the power of Jesus in all his own helplessness. When he is brought to the end of all his own strength, all of his own wisdom, oh, then he is sending for Jesus that he may experience something of that mercy of Jesus, that the Lord would cure, that he would heal that miserable man who is even ready to die. Oh, then he is sending for Jesus that he may experience something of the grace of Jesus, even to a man who is a heathen, who is a Gentile, who is not like one of thy disciples, though I am not like unto one of thy handmaidens. Oh, then he is yet sending for Jesus, and then he is in his mind. He says, how can I do it? How can I do it in a way that I will not pollute him? Because that true church, oh, they do not want to be saved in a way that is outside of the honor and the glory of the Lord. Oh, then he thinks it is better. I will send unto him the elders of the Jews. They are clean. They are circumcised. They are holy people. They can take my message. And then he and Jesus, he can receive it from them. And then, oh, he hears the Lord Jesus is coming. And the unworthiness of that man in himself that is now raising the faith of that man even to greater heights. So the depth of the feeling of his soul that is raising faith to a greater height. He says, no, 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 no. This cannot be. He says, I am unworthy. Oh, he says, just say it, Lord, in a word. Just say it in one word, and my servant shall be healed. Because I am a man also under authority, having under me soldiers. I say to the one, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Oh, Lord, just say it now in one word, and my servant, he shall be healed. The Lord, he is making, he is manifesting, bringing out the faith of his church. How? Through the trials, through the afflictions that people have to endure. The Jews, they said, whom makest thou thyself? Concerning him whom God had sent to be their Savior, to be their Mediator, to be their Redeemer. And now this Gentile, in whom the Spirit of the Lord is, this Gentile, this heathen, oh, he says, he has authority over death. He can heal my servant. One word that he would speak out of his mouth. With men it is impossible, but not with God. All do you see whom this man has seen the Lord Jesus to be? He believes it. He believes it with all his heart. And he confesses it in his need, in his desire. And what does he receive thereby? That is our last thought, the fruit of this faith. And they that were sent, returning to his house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Thus, true faith, what is it? Young people, what do we say it is? Catechism, confession class, faith. That is what? It is a hand. That is the hand that receives the blessings. Here, of course, it is in an outward way, receiving an outward blessing. But that through faith, that is now receiving the spiritual blessing in the heart of God's people. Thus, he makes that lowly servant whole who had been sick. What does he do? He raises up those that are bowed down. He delivers those who are ready to perish. We read in God's word, he sends his word and he heals them. One word. Believe that, young people? One word out of that most holy book of God, the word of God, that can strike your heart, can send an arrow in your heart. It can bring you down. It can teach you who you are. And that same word that can heal you, that can raise you up, one word to an unworthy, unto a polluted sinner in himself, who cries unto the Lord in his need, oh, then the Lord, he is forgiving the iniquity of his people. He is freeing them from their bondage, from their sin, that it would not have dominion over them. Oh, the Lord, he is freeing them from the grave. He is freeing them from condemnation. That is all that is to be received by that hand of faith when it is given out of the hand of God unto his own children. I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Thus the Lord, he gives a testimony of his own work. He says, that is my work that is in that man. Oh, surprising. You looked at all those Jews, then you see that Roman centurion with his soldiers. Say, in whom is now the Spirit of the Lord? Choose maybe that one, that one, that one, that man outside. That is the electing love of the Lord. Oh, it will be a surprise to us who will be there in that great day of days. Maybe it will be a surprise to us who is not there on that great day of days. Congregation, it is the testimony of the Lord, his own work, testimony of the Spirit's work over a man who was a heathen. Powerful work, is not. Do you say, I am dead? Do you say, it is impossible for me? Look what the Lord has done in the life of that man. And he had every reason, we would say, to be proud in the midst of this world. High position, Roman. The Lord brought him low. Oh, will you not say then, O Lord, I have a religion. Pray, read, but in my heart, I'm a heathen. I'm a Gentile. I'm just like that uncircumcised man. I'm polluted. Oh, will you ask the Lord to bring you in the same place of that man? To cut off everything, young people. That is the way it goes. The Lord cuts it off. To cut off everything from my own sight. And then to bring at the blessed footstool of Jesus, then there is everything to be had for one who is not worthy, who is not worthy of the least of all the notice and the attention of the Lord. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is a most powerful work. It is a most delightful work. Oh, that thou would give us to know it both young and old, and that those blessed marks of true saving faith may be seen in the midst of us also. Instruct us, Lord. Bless thy word. Glorify thy name. Bring us safely home. Be with us in the week to come, each one in our place in this world. Help us as a consistory, catechism, confession classes, and when we meet as a consistory in this week, and wilt thou bless the labors of our hands. Give us wisdom, and give that the labors in the midst of this our flock may bring forth fruit to the glory of thy name, to the bringing in of thy kingdom also in our midst. We lay before thee once more her that must receive a procedure in the day of tomorrow, and wilt thou give her calmness, and wilt thou bless the means, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 72, 1, 2, and 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face, my heart and lips their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 72. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.